Welcome to the Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore. It is Tuesday, November the 16th, 2021. On this edition of the Politocrat, if you are white, I have a question for you. What do you think the soul of white America is? I'm going to repeat that question right after this. Dear listener, I hope you are well. It is Tuesday. Goodness gracious me, here we are. We are now right at the halfway point of November. It's just unreal. I always say this, don't I? Almost always. How quickly this time has vanished. How quickly this calendar year has vanished. And we are now, I would say exactly now, 6 weeks away from the end of 2021. Oh my goodness. Well, here we are. And I hope you're well. I hope that things have been going your way. And if they haven't, may they do so very soon. I hope that you are in a good place in life, or a reasonably good place, or a safe place, or a safer place in your life. And I hope that yours are as well. So I want to repeat this question I promised to repeat, which is, if you are a white person, what do you think the soul of white America is? I ask that question because it's a question that needs to be asked. It's a question that needs to be asked a lot more than I've ever heard it asked. I don't think I've ever heard that question even asked before by anybody. Not to say that I am the very first person to ask it, but I've never heard anybody ask it. So from my perspective, I am the first person to ask it. If you are white listening to me right now, what do you think the soul of white America is? And the soul is S-O-U-L, not S-O-L-E. I'm sure you realize that, dear listener. And I ask this question not only because I don't think anyone's ever asked it before, I also ask it because everything in the United States always connects back to racism and always connects back to the way that white people have treated black people throughout this country's relatively brief history, and even before this country became the United States of America, hundreds of years before. And I think that you can make a case that every single thing that happens in the United States, whether it's in politics or whether it's in legislation or anything like that, can be inevitably traced back to the way that white people have treated black people, and traced back to the fact that this country still has not looked in the face of its own evils, looked at in the face of enslavement of black people by white people, enslavement of black people by white people, the genocide of Native Americans by white people, white men. We have not in this country looked at that. We have not in this country looked hard enough at internment of Japanese people who are Americans. We have not looked hard enough at the castrations and the disembowelments of black people by white people. We have not looked hard enough at the lynching and mass murders of black people all throughout this country, United States, by white people. We have not looked at it. We have not looked at it in the 1800s, the 1700s, in the year 2020. We have not looked at it. And not only that, this country refuses to not only look at it, but to do something about it. Reparations, I think, to some people, seems like a dirty, scandalous word. Something worse even than the atrocities themselves. And that, to me, is despicable that people would think that. But I happen to believe that that is the way some people in the United States feel. Oh my God, reparations, how could you? Maybe you should be saying, oh my God, enslavement of black people, the murders of millions of black people, the genociding of millions of Native Americans, how could you? Maybe that's what you should be saying. This country soft pedals violence by white people. This country has a very blasé attitude about violence by white people, particularly when it's being perpetrated against black people. The culture has a blasé attitude about it, and the dominant white society has a blasé attitude about it. And the violence takes on all forms. Physical, psychological, emotional, set up by a system, sparked by a system of whiteness. You have Kyle Rittenhouse, who is at this point, when he's not selecting alternate jurors for his own blooming trial, is sweating it out, waiting for a jury verdict of not guilty. That's what he's waiting for. That is what he is expecting. That's what his police union backed fund and his Klan fund is expecting. They're all expecting this in the right wing. They're all expecting he's going to walk. And I expect it too. And I am nowhere near any of those disgusting people. Not even close. Kyle Rittenhouse is a living, breathing example of toxic, racist, violent, white people. And also, living, breathing embodiment of hypocrites. Those, some of whom, who say that they care. But as James Baldwin once said, what they really care about, and all they really care about, is their safety and their profits. P-R-O-F as in Frank, I-T-S. That's what they really care about. Next week in the United States, there's something called Thanksgiving, and I've talked about it here, dear listener, on a number of occasions. The origination of that particular holiday was not anything around thanking anybody. It was a violent, bloody time, particularly for Native Americans in the United States, and before it became that. It's very bloody, very violent, and the violence by white men was being directed at Native Americans. I mean, next week when Thanksgiving comes, and it's only going to be here in a few days' time now, roughly, what, 9 or 10 days? What are you going to be doing? If you're white listening to me, what will you be doing? Will you be around the table celebrating Thanksgiving? And if you are, how are you celebrating it? In what way are you giving thanks? What's the context of the celebration? And before I get into what I want to get into, I really do want to say, what will you say at the dinner table when one of your fellow white relatives says something racist at that dinner table? What will you say? Will you stay silent, or will you counteract and stand up against the racist comment coming from your uncle, coming from your dad or your mother or your grandmother or your uncle. I think I mentioned uncle already, but are you going to stand up and say something, or are you going to just laugh it off or ignore it? Are you going to make people uncomfortable with your standing up? Because that's what you should do. You should make yourself uncomfortable if you are white and someone white at your dinner table, or even if you're at someone's dinner table. You need to make it clear to them that the racist thing that they said, because there's someone's going to say something next week. They're going to say something. Okay? I don't have to be in your household to know. Someone in your household's going to say something racist. You need to make sure, dear listener, if you are a white person, you need to make sure that you make that room uncomfortable. Because while some people who are white may feel genuinely uncomfortable with a fellow white person in a room saying something racist, some white people, in my view, may find it just a little bit difficult to perhaps challenge one of their own family members. But if you really care about black lives and black lives mattering in this world, if you really care about black folk, and you really call yourself an ally or a partner, or you really call yourself anti-racist, then you're going to have to practice what it is you preach, especially next week at the dinner table of racists, because you know and I know for sure that someone in your family is going to say something racist. And you have the unique opportunity to stand up and make it very clear that racism is not welcomed in your presence. And if it's in your home, it's not welcome there. And if it's in someone else's home, you have to be prepared to not only say that that is not something I'm ever going to support or approve of in my presence. You really are going to have to get ready to leave that dinner table. And I'm not just saying leave the dinner table and go into another room. I'm saying leave the dinner table and leave that freaking house. How many of you, if you are white, are prepared to do that next week? Or, as I proposed and said at the end of an episode recently of this podcast, are you just going to shrug it off, ignore it, pretend it didn't happen? It's no good going off at the piece of garbage who left the White House in January, but you can't even stand up to some racist at your dinner table. It's no good getting upset at these racist-ass, fascistic Republicans, but you can't even stand up to some relative at your dinner table who says some obscenely racist thing, some racist thing. It's no good invoking how disgusting the Klan are and how disgusting these white racists are and how disgusting whiteness is and white dominance of everything. There's no good you as a white person talking about that and decrying it and absolutely hating that. And yet when someone at your dinner table next week says some racist thing, you don't say anything back. You don't stand up to it. You don't call them out. You don't call them racist. You don't say what they're saying is racist. Because you can go on social media and say anything you want about these despicable things that happen. But if you don't confront it in the moment when it's in your backyard or at your dinner table, then what does that make you? Dear listener, welcome back, and thank you very much for your listening ear. It is always appreciated, very much so. Thank you for having the time, and making time, actually, for this podcast. And I do appreciate you, truly do, and respect you a great deal. And I appreciate your listening ear. It's much appreciated indeed. And I hope, again, that you are well on this Tuesday. And I am asking this question, particularly to those who are white, specifically to you, dear listener, if you are a white person listening to this at the moment, is what do you think the soul of white America is? And really, this question could be the soul of white England. It could be the soul of white France. It could be the soul of white Spain, white Germany. It could apply to any country. I specifically, however, want to train this on the United States of America, because it is here that some of the most extreme and blatant racism happens. Now, it happens all over the planet. But this is not an exercise along the lines of a Robin DiAngelo. And I quite frankly think that Robin DiAngelo, well, anyway, I'm not going to go there. I've already talked about that. The person that, and I spoke to her last year on this podcast, Jane Elliott is the person I'm referring to that I spoke to last year. Jane Elliott has been doing work as a, she's a white woman, educator, author, all kind, I mean, just a, I think a really indispensable voice in the anti-racism movement. But that's the person, you know, and you can go listen back to that episode I did way back in June, I believe it was, of 2020. And I, she and I spoke, and she's just gold to me. And she had been doing blue eye, brown eye experiments back in the 1960s, right after, in fact, the day after, I believe, after Dr. King was assassinated. And she was doing this with white people. So this is a white educator doing this with white people and challenging them and making them uncomfortable and making white people feel deeply uncomfortable. And so be it. That's exactly what should be happening. And this is with experiments that she was doing that were real and deep with adults and with kids. Back in the 60s, mostly with kids, and then it became adults later. And she got death threats for daring to challenge her own racial group, daring to experiment and make white people uncomfortable. She got death threats in the Midwest, in Iowa. And, you know, she got death threats. They wanted her dead. White people, when I say they, I'm referring to white people. They wanted this white person dead. Jane Elliott, who is with us, and I'm so thankful she is. They wanted her dead. Called her everything but a child of God. I want you, dear listener, if you are white, to honestly think about the conversations that you have with other white people. Right now, think about it, right this second. I want you to think about it. Do you ever talk about black people when you're speaking to another white person? And if you do, what is it that you're saying about those black persons you're speaking about? What is it that the other white person or white persons you are speaking to, what is it that they are saying about black persons in general, black people in general? Have you said something racist regarding black people to other white people in your life as a white person. If you are listening to this, have you ever said anything racist about black people or racist, period? Have you ever said anything? And have the white people you've said this to also said racist things? Have you ever said something racist to a black person to their face? All of this is directed at people listening to me right now who are white. Have the people who are white that you have spoken to said racist things to you as a white person? And if those white people that you as a white person have spoken to have said something racist about black people to you, what has your response been to that as a white person? Do you ignore it? Did you ignore it? Did you laugh it off? Were you uncomfortable? Or did you actually say something? And how aggressively did you say it? Did you just say, well, I don't really see it the same way? Did you say it like that? Or did you say, this is not something I'm going to put up with. This is racist and it's wrong. And you're talking to somebody who does not think the way you do. And I'm going to tell you right now that if this is how you think, I don't want to be anywhere near you, and we are going to have to stop being friends. Have you ever said that as a white person to another white person who says something racist? And if this is something racist about a black person, have you ever confronted that white person and said, this friendship is done? Have you ever done that? What would it take for you to do that as a white person? Would it take you being married to someone who is black? Would it take you having a child who is black and seeing or hearing about that child being racially abused by either a guest in your home or anywhere else? Would it take that for you to stand up? If your so-called friend or whomever it was, relative, family member, says something racist about the black child that you have, what would you say back? Would you just let it slide? Would you laugh along with your racist white friend or relative? Or would you get up in their face and challenge them and tell them that's racist, it's ugly, and it's disgusting, and I'm not going to stand for this here, and it has no place here, and nor do you? Would you talk like that? Or would you just pretend you didn't hear it because you don't want to go through that? White people have the unique power to not only check their whiteness and white privilege at the door, but they must also, in my view, actively help black people in whichever capacity possible, uplift and promote black people, not just online, but in daily life, to the extent that the white people who do this are anywhere near black people in the segregated United States of America that we have. And actively stand up when someone else white says something racist. I think that's the remit of every white person in the United States and beyond. Who is willing to get their feet wet in that way? Who's willing to get themselves a little dirty that way? And by that I mean challenging that racist white relative that turns out to expose himself or herself or themselves at the Thanksgiving dinner table. And they've not even had a drink of anything yet that's alcoholic, and they've said this. Or, au contraire, they may well have had two drinks. It's not the alcohol that's the issue, though. It's the person. The person who spouts the racist thing. It is every white person's responsibility to stand up against racists, especially close to home in their families. The only way that this scourge of this evil and this whiteness, which is a system, it's a systemic thing, can be defeated is when and if white people at large, en masse, choose to withdraw and reject whiteness as a system and reject all of the disgusting and evil and oppressive things that come with whiteness as a system. When white people at large stop kowtowing and choose to disavow the benefits of whiteness in the United States, disavow the perks and the privileges and the white privileges that they get, disavow all those things and more, then there may be a chance, maybe a chance. There is no question in my mind, dear listener, that white Americans will have to be made uncomfortable with their position. And at some point, white Americans will have to choose, and I've said this before, I said this almost a year ago, if not around a year ago, white Americans are going to have to choose whether or not they want a country or whether they don't, and whether or not they are going to live and coexist with black people and cede the reins, or whether they're not. There has been, as I said earlier, a profound refusal to look and to stare and to teach and to absolutely drive home the atrocities on the soil of the Native American land we all are sitting on right now here in the United States. If you are a white person listening to me now, what do you think the soul of white America is? Welcome back. In the United States of America, I think that white Americans have a bizarre, at best, relationship with black people, blackness, and with a society that tells white people from the start that they are supposedly superior to black people. Which, of course, is not true. There is a system called whiteness that projects that image. And that image is reinforced through laws and the systemic laws and injustice that's perpetrated against black people and all of the other things that you put together in a society built on the oppression of black people. That is really plain and simple. That's really where this is. And this bizarre relationship. There are white people in the United States who are quite happy going to the NFL game and watching a 70-80% black contingency of football players on the field of play, while at the very same time cursing out someone black. While at the very same time being upset that some black players would dare kneel Colin Kaepernick. There are some white people in the country who really can't seem to do anything without our help. That ranges from taking care of their own kids to sex itself. It runs the gamut. You need us, but you hate us. You don't need us, but you love us. You view us as some kind of exotic curiosity. And you envy us. You want us and you are resentful of us. You can't stand us, but you go to the beach and get a tan. You might like to have a black child as your own, so you adopt one or have one, but you hate black children who happen to be walking the street as you do and you cross to the other side. Do you think that that is an aspect of the soul of white America? Is that what I've just described? If you are a white person, you can tell me what you think about that. Actually, you should tell me what you think about it, not what you think about what I just said. You really should think about what you think the soul of white America is. Is the soul of white America talking about so-called black-on-black crime, but not talking about all of the domestic violence that goes on in white neighborhoods, be they suburban or rural or urban, on a daily basis amongst white couples? Could it be that the soul of white America is a violent soul? Could it be that the soul of white America is denial, racism, racists, people who do not care, people who will not act, people who are self-oriented and self-centered and entitled? Could it be those things that make up the soul of what white America is? What is the soul of white America? I'm asking white people who are listening to me right now. I really would like to know what you think and feel about that. I mean, about what your answer is, not me talking about this. What your answer would be to that question. The contradictions, the hypocrisies, the deep denial. Do you behave differently if you are white? Do you behave differently amongst white people than you do black people. You behave differently amongst black people than you do white people if you are white, dear listener. And I just want to know. I know there was a Wall Street Journal study or some study a few short years ago, almost 10 years ago now, that talked about how few white people had black friends. You know? Less than 1%, I think it was, of white people had black friends. So, or it was something like 80% of white people said they didn't have a black friend at all. If you are white and you go to a party or you go to a gathering and everyone in there is white, what do you think of that? Does it not register to you that everyone's white? Do you think about the fact that there's no black people in there? And that perhaps the only people at all who are, say, brown are people who are fixing the food, preparing it, bringing it out to you. Maybe they're playing music. They're the only brown people in the room. Maybe the only black people in the room. But if you go to some country club, well, you're going to expect to get zero there. But if you go to some gathering, whether it's, no matter what city in it is in the world, not just here in the United States, what do you think to yourself if everyone in there looks like you? And I don't mean they look phenotypically like you in exactly the same sense. I mean every single last one of them is white like you. What do you say to yourself? How do you feel? What are you saying to your fellow white colleagues or partner or whomever, or your spouse, who might be with you when you're seeing this? And if no one's with you and it's just you, what are you thinking? This Thanksgiving in the United States, I think that white people are going to have to prepare to make themselves uncomfortable by challenging hatred and racism. This is how it works. You have to do this. This is going to be up to white Americans at some point, and that some point is now. That sometime has always been now, now, and now, and now, and now. It's been now for hundreds of years. And I just want to know, if you are white listening to me, dear listener, do you have the courage to stand up and say enough is enough? And again, not on social media, but publicly, face to face with fellow white individuals who say racist things in your presence. Where do you think we would be in the United States if we didn't have black people here? If white men did not kidnap and bring black people to this country, where do you as a white person think the country would be if it was a country that was inhabited solely by white people? Or, you know, this is after post-Native Americans being genocided. I want to know, what do you think? Would the country survive? I really do want those white people who are listening to me now to make a commitment. And you have to do this, dear listener, if you are white. Make a commitment that next week, Thanksgiving, which is what, as I say, 10 days from now, this month of November 2021, make a commitment, please. I think it's the 25th of November. I don't remember. You are going to have to make a commitment to me, and you're going to have to stand up and fight back against racists in your family. It might get you disowned. It might get you a cancellation invite. You may have to storm out of there. Like I said, you may have to leave, but you cannot tolerate this. and you cannot go with another family relative saying some racist thing to you and you just not saying anything back or not standing up to it. And you can't do that with your friends either. That's why I asked, what kinds of conversations do you have and what racist things are being said, whether it's being said face to face or in an email or in a text? Have you confronted these things when they've happened? Because you really should. And be prepared to be uncomfortable, because that's just the way it is. Some of us have been uncomfortable for more than 400 years. So a few minutes of discomfort for you should not put your nose too far out of joint. If you are white listening to me, dear listener, what do you think the soul of white America is? I really would like you to answer that question. And if you think that you're not racist, please don't prove it to black people by trying to join their marches. I mean, you can join black people's marches as much as you'd like. But the real work means marching in your own neighborhood as a group of white people in a white neighborhood, saying to other white people, we are here and we stand for justice for black people, for black lives, jobs for black people, the end to police brutality. You need to be marching through your own neighborhoods. A group of white people all need to be doing that in the neighborhoods they live in, and challenge those other white people in that neighborhood. The people who are spreading out racist things, the people who aren't, you need to challenge them. Generations upon generations of black people have died. And I think it's full time and high time that you have many more white people standing up against racism. It cannot just be a few people. It must be done. So I'm going to leave you with this once again. If you are a white person listening to this, what do you think is the soul of white America? Thank you very much for listening to this edition of The Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore.